we're in our last message of the series, Rooted, Growing Deep in a Shallow World, Rooted in Christ, first message, Rooted in the Word of God, the living Word is Jesus, and then in this third message, Rooted in Community, as we talked about. The passage, just a short passage this morning from Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23, 24, and 25. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. We call it the writer of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews. That's not important, but the message is important. One of the themes in Hebrews is a better. Jesus is a better sacrifice than what man made. So let's look. And you know, when I say hortatory subjunctive, I did say that already for the psalm that we saw. It's a English a way of saying it puts emphasis on who's doing the verbs. Let us, okay. So let us is a hortatory subjunctive. You're gonna have to look it up, Mark, and later and just find out the true meaning because I'm butchering it right now. But it's translated let us, this Greek word. And it's not green lettuce for a salad. No. It's a community word, okay? So let's take a look. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is who promised is faithful. And here it is again. And let us hold, let's see, where are we at? Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Capital D. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day that's coming. That's the Lord Jesus returning. And we look forward to that, and we live our lives in light of that, with an eternal perspective. And Lord, help us to understand a little bit more about what you mean when you say that we are one in Christ, and we are a community and a body. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Because we are held fast by Christ, we hold fast to one another. And you saw it in this text, and you saw it hopefully in the reading that Asher shared in the Acts passage, Acts chapter 2. And there's common community words in these passages that the writers write. Paul, some think Paul wrote this, but you know, whoever the writer was to the Hebrews, he uses those similar words. They're koinonia words. Koinonia is another way of saying fellowship. Another way of saying fellowship is body. Another way of saying body is the community. Another way of saying community is us together. Okay, and you see these common words. Paul's writings too. Let us together. You saw it in this passage, the one another's of Scripture. Maybe you've studied that, maybe you've looked at that. There's tons of them. If you go back and look in Scripture, do a little googly search and find the phrase one another, and you'll find tons of passages in Scriptures that talk about the one another's of Scripture. And that's because we're united together in one, and the one that makes us one is the one, capital O, that's Jesus. So an author said this, Christian community is not optional. I like that. It's not optional. It's not one of many options, right? Christian community is not optional. It's the God-given environment where faith is strengthened, hope is sustained, and love is stirred into action. And we see those words in this passage. We are rooted in a shared hope. So here's the words again. Let us, family word, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. What's the hope we profess? That's Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For he who promised is faithful. God never has broken a promise ever. Whatever he promises, he fulfills. It comes to fruition. Guaranteed, 100%. Okay, he who has promised is faithful. So God is the reason we hold unswervingly to the promise, even in the face of persecution or trouble. God keeps his word. It doesn't matter how bad life looks, whether it's good or bad or ugly. or beautiful, or even how hopeless the situation may seem, He's faithful and He's good. Living in community with other Christians means being intentional. And here's what I mean. We gather together. We're intentional about it. And I'm preaching to the choir here this morning because you're all here. Right? You're together. You thought enough of that it's important to come under the hearing of the Word of God, to gather with like-minded and like-hearted people in a local congregation or a place. So y'all are living it out here this morning, your community. For those that haven't made, well, there's still some on live stream, I know that for sure. It's guaranteed that there are some folks tuning in that want an experience of community. They're not getting the full experience because they're there and we're here. We're not going to shun them. We're not going to shame them. We're going to encourage them. Bless you that you're here. We're here. You're there. And here's the thing, here's the cool thing about it. We're still one. We're still one in Christ. We're still a body of believers, wherever you are. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews is trying to get here. You're supporting one another. You're growing in your faith. You're encouraging one another. You're lifting up each other's burdens. You're praying for one another. You see, part of why Rhonda instituted the cookie thing after the service, and we have others that help with that. Praise God and thank you for that. Right after the service, we go and we eat cookies. Is that just to get more calories and because we like cookies? No, no, no. It's intentional, isn't it? How many cookies do you usually have? 2 or 3? 4? 5? As much as I want, Paisley says, as much as I want. Okay, it's intentional. We do that because we want a place to go because y'all maybe didn't connect during the week. Some of you did, but not all of you. It's a beautiful little place right there. Eat a cookie and connect and say, hey, how you doing? What did you do this last week? How can I pray for you? Isn't that not, that's what the body does. Because you're in Christ and you do that for one another. It's a beautiful thing. One of the best examples in Scripture is Antioch. Does anybody know? It's interactive this morning. It's interactive. Anybody know what happened significantly in Antioch? A number of things did. But one thing that was significant was anybody in Antioch? The believers were known as Christians right there. It wasn't them, wasn't the believers saying that. It was the all people in that area. They said, oh, those are the Christians. I mean, they believed and followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and hence came the name. They're also known as the Way. I like that. I like the Way. Antioch wasn't planted by apostles or famous people or famous leaders. It was planted by ordinary believers who had fled persecution after Stephen's death. Stephen was martyred. Persecution broke out. The believers scattered. They went to Antioch, but they were on mission. They weren't running for their lives, necessarily. Some might have been. But they were on mission. They wanted to spread the news of Christ. They wanted the people in Antioch to know about who Jesus was. Luke says this, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed. This is Hebrews 10:23 in action, holding fast to hope even when life is shaken. Antioch was the first church where Jews and Gentiles worshiped together as equals because of the gospel. They were one in Christ that brought them together. They weren't divided anymore. Jesus brought them together. That wall of hostility, Paul called it, was broken because of Christ. And it was also a community that cared for one another sacrificially. When a prophet named Agabus, it's a great name, name your baby after Agabus. Anybody? Yeah. Agabus. They predicted a famine in the area. The believers, they didn't panic. They got to work. They prayed together, and they said, what do we have? What do we have? Ooh, we have a couple of these, a couple of that. We have some treasures here or there. Let's get it together, because there's believers, there's brothers and sisters from the family we heard about that are being persecuted, but also there's a famine in the land, so they need some food. Let's get together. Let's gather our resources and send it to them. Let's take it to them. Let's bless them. They're part of our family. That's Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together and meeting the needs of the community together. They were a community that worshiped and they prayed and they sent. And Acts 13 shows the church gathered in worship and fasting and prayer. In that setting, the Spirit called Paul and Barnabas. In that setting in Antioch, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas to mission. Take the gospel to further lands, Paul, Barnabas. Get going. The church didn't cling to its best leaders. They laid hands on them, blessed them, and sent them out. This is community that doesn't exist for itself. It exists for the world outside of itself. So how do we spur one another? I love those words. Spur one another on to love and good deeds. That's a great word. I'm going to look it up next time I get a chance. Spur. I mean, to me, it sounds Western, right? You get your spurs on, right? And you hit the horse. That's not so nice for the horse, but you get some going. How do we spur one another on as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ? So it says this from a commentary writer. It says, as soon as we say, I've been thinking about you, think about this in your own lives now. Just take a moment this morning. And how very powerful it is when you get a little note, card, letter, text from someone, and it comes at just the right time. You ever had that happen? Where you're struggling with this or with that, and you're having a hard day, and nothing's going right. You're discouraged. Beep. Mine is like the Vikings. That, you know, that big long horn they did, the Vikings, Minnesota Vikings. That's my text sound. When I get a text, it's the Viking thing. I know. It's what it is. But think about it in your own life. Think about it. When you receive something like that, what it made you feel like. You know what? You have that gift to do that for someone else. And I know you do. As soon as we say, I've been thinking about you, as soon as we say it, encouragement flows from us to them. We know how heartwarming the thoughts, the prayers, the cards, the notes, the gifts from others are. I think about you and you think of me. This reflexive flow of encouragement is an essential work of Christian fellowship. By this, we spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's it. You want to know how to spur? Send. Write. Text. Bless. Encourage. Smile. Share. Pause. Slow down. Take time. Notice. You kids in the lunchroom, you ever have somebody that's sitting all by himself? Yeah. Next fall, you go over and you say, hey, can I sit here? Is that going to help? Yeah. Community begins with a shared center, and that's Christ himself. Christ is our center. We don't gather because we're naturally compatible. We gather because we cling to the same Savior. So why does that matter? Well, our hope is not something we hide. It's something we openly live and confess. We hold fast together because Christ holds us fast together. Maybe you've heard or you've read that we're living in such a times as these, that there's a loneliness epidemic. Have you heard that? It's increasing. It's increasing every year. The loneliness. There's an answer to that. If you're lonely, maybe you can intentionally reach out to somebody else and befriend them. But if you notice somebody that's lonely, you can also be an answer to that, right? So isolation weakens hope, but community strengthens it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a little book called Life Together. I don't know if you've read that before. It's in our library. I've got a couple of copies, I think. Life Together. Just a small little book, but it's so powerful. Because Dietrich says the thing about community is Christ, right? Bound together by faith, not experience. He insisted that our unity is not psychological or social, but it's Christological. We are one because we are one in Christ. And he said this, Christian brotherhood is not an ideal we must realize. It's rather a reality created by God in Christ in which we may participate. Rooted community begins not with us trying harder, but with Christ holding us together. Martin Luther writes about this kind of community, writes about this kind of faith. When he said this, oh, he enjoyed talking about faith, Martin Luther, because it's a gift from God. We can't boast about it. We can't earn it. It's all gift, all grace. Martin said this, oh, it's a living, busy, active, powerful thing that we have in faith so that it is impossible for it not to do good without ceasing. Nor does it ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is asked, it has wrought them and is always engaged in doing them. One of the best examples I have in my life is my wife, Rhonda. She said not to make any announcement about her. I won't, dear. I'm not making an announcement. I'm just sharing an illustration about the gift that you are to so many people, to myself, to Caitlin, but to so many people. She's got a love language, Gary Chapman, 5 love languages of gift giving. Maybe you've been the recipients of some of that. Gift giving means taking the time, we talked earlier on it, to pause, slow down, to notice. She is one of the best I know of taking time to notice a need that somebody might have. Or a like or a desire that somebody has. And she'll go to whatever lengths to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, and fill that gift giving. Then the text says, not giving up meeting together. Again, you're the beautiful example this morning of community, because you could have said no this morning. And somebody, maybe you did. Hey, we're not going. I'm not going. Got too much to do. I don't feel right. You're the beautiful example of community this morning, because you aren't giving up that habit of meeting together, but you're encouraging one another all the more as you see the day. Just let me briefly talk about the day. We just did a whole series on that the Lord Jesus is coming back again. We don't know the day, don't know the hour. He's going to come like a thief in the Scripture talks about, Jesus himself said. We can see signs of the times of the ages ending. Wars and rumors of wars, those kinds of things. We can see seasons. We can see seasons. We can recognize some of those things, the fig tree and that kind of thing. But in all of that, Scripture also talks about being ready, being watchful, being prayerful, being ready. The only way I know to be ready is to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're ready then. And then, as community, as a family of believers, where God has placed you, wherever you are, to shine the light of Christ there. But then, get back here. Because this is where you fuel. This is where you fuel up. This is where you come to receive, to hear, but also to be equipped, to be sent again. But this is where y'all, this is where ministry happens. This is where you gather. And somebody might be down and you noticed. And you ask, hey, how are you doing today? Encourage them. You bless them. You bear each other's burdens. It is grace, nothing but grace, and that we are allowed to live in community with Christian brethren. That's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Community is not a burden, it's a gift, it's not a duty, it's a means of grace. We gather because Christ meets us in the gathering. We show up because Christ shows up. So how often should we gather together? Until he comes. Until we see the day approaching. How often do we gather? Until he comes. So we're rooted people, or we're rooted together, we're bearing one another's burdens, we're praying for each other, we're encouraging one another, we're rooted in Christ, we're rooted in the Word of God, we're rooted in community, and that's the Spirit's pattern for a flourishing church. We don't root ourselves in community by trying harder. We root ourselves by remembering that Christ has rooted himself in us. And because he has not let go of us, we do not let go of one another as a body of believers in a community here. In Jesus' name.